Again, my name is Andy Fetsis. I'm in full-time ministry with Fellowship of Christian Athletes here in town. And first off, happy Mother's Day, moms, and future moms. There's going to be some future moms here probably, so what a fun day. I reminded Brett when he asked me to come here and speak. I said, you know, it is Mother's Day. Did you remember that? I said, you want to talk about ministry or do you want to talk about mothers? So we're going to do a little bit of both today. My update for FCA, who are we and what are we about? Our mission and goal is to lead every coach and athlete into a personal and growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And it is a platform. Anybody here that watches sports, it is a huge platform. It may be, in today's world, one of the greatest platforms to reach young people in the next generation with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so what we do, we take the 2 Timothy 2:2 model. Paul tells Timothy, the things that you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will teach others also. And you see generational discipleship, evangelism and discipleship, 4 generations in that verse. And so FCA has adopted what they call E3. So we call 2 Timothy 2:2 E squared, evangelism and discipleship. They broke it into 3 E's, which is in teaching athletes to engage, number one, in the Bible, and number two, with people. And we engage with them. And then when a person comes to faith in Christ, the next E is to the equipping. So we spend time in discipleship, small group studies on campuses, one-on-one Bible studies, small group off campus. And third, as the young man or young woman begins to grow in their faith and it becomes their own, we help and empower them to get out and have courage to go share their faith and be able to feel like they can take a new believer into the Bible without having to take them into maybe a scary church setting. Like they're afraid to come to church or they've had bad circumstances in the past. It's that step that young people and adults get to take in building that relationship, getting somebody starting to plant some seeds so that, one, we can meet with them outside of church, but two, we can get them into a Bible teaching and a Bible believing church. So that is kind of our mission and that's kind of how it works. So a few quick updates. I'm on the campus of Catalina Magnet, which is, there's a Muslim mosque on that campus. I think I talked about that last year when I spoke. There is a mosque to contend with on that campus, and imams, Muslim clerics, who work on that campus. But the kids at that school are growing more and more in their faith. The groups keep growing. We lost about 18 football players that were all seniors that graduated last year. And so it's been a really neat transition to see a lot of freshmen and sophomores this year. So I'm really excited about what God's going to do with these kids. And most of the Catalina kids are going to be coming to our summer camp, which is where God really pulls them out of their environment for 4 days. They do sports, they do small group Bible studies, they do church service in the evenings, and it's a spectacular time, and it really usually supercharges the kids spiritually when they get home. So Catalina Magnet, Saguaro High School, that huddle is now 3 years. It started with I always call her a 90-pound soaking wet cross-country girl who went to camp. Someone brought up FCA. She came back to school. She said, I want to start an FCA on my campus. I'd already talked to the athletic director. He did not want me to do an announcement. He said, let's just wait for the Lord. And I go, well, can't we just do an announcement and see if anyone responds to the Lord? And he said, no, I want to wait. I said, okay. Well, about 3 or 4 months later, this girl from cross country goes in and says, I want to start an FCA. I think God wants me to do this, and here's why. And that huddle they've moved us 3 times. Huddle is a Bible study. We call them huddles. So the school doesn't like Christianity on campus, the public schools, but we call them huddles, and that's what they are. They're Bible studies. Went from one girl and her friend to where we have sometimes up to 70 kids meeting in the basement of Saguaro High School every Monday and every Friday. So incredible what God's doing. And those who know me know I'm not real good about watering down the Bible. I like to just read the Bible and not make excuses for God and let people make their own decisions. And so that's 100% a work of God. There's no gimmicks there. It's incredible what's happening on that campus. Catalina Foothills is another school that I'm on. Very hostile to having any type of Christian clubs on their campus. And so that huddle is, it's an off and on. it's probably the hardest one for me because the lack of consistency, but there's always consistently 8 to 10 kids in that huddle. And we're really praying. I feel like the root of young people, sophomores, they're going to be back next year, really going to, they're starting to see after our Bible studies this year, the outward side of this. And so we're praying that God will bring more kids there next year. Then my alma mater, where this young man up front, Ty, goes, I played football at Sabino. I got to meet Ty. He comes to our Sabino High School huddle. It's the best to go back to my old high school where I used to cause a lot of trouble back in the 90s on that campus, to get to go back now and come from a different perspective than I was when I was there. And that's an amazing group of young people. That started with one girl who ran track. And we just started meeting, and now sometimes there's 16 to 20 kids coming in Mr. Stasiewicz's room. And I'm working on that teacher. He and I are buds. We're going to go hike Tumamoc now. So he's, I don't know how he sits through our Bible studies because he said he doesn't have a faith, but he sits through them all right. He sits there and he listens. I know he's listening. So we're going to do some Tumamoc hikes this summer. So hopefully I can report a new kingdom member come school year next year. And then lastly, right now I'm on Pima College. And so the Pima College group is really cool. We meet on campus, Pima West campus, and then we also meet every Thursday at our home. We bring the kids in for dinner. We feed them, and then we either inside or outside under the gazebo, the kids will go out and we'll do a formal Bible study, and then they'll just have a great time of fellowship and relationship building. So two new high schools that are starting. Tanque Verde High School, which I'm so excited about. I've been praying for that school. That's going to start in the fall. There's going to be a Bible study there. We have some spiritual war going on there. The kids want to start an FCA. The principal doesn't want to because there's also kids that want to start a Club of Satan. So it's a real club. It's big around the country. And so she's hesitant to start this club because she said, if I let you do it, then I have to let them do it. And so, but by law, she has to do it. So we have a couple of young ladies that are really excited about starting this club, irrespective of the backlash that they take for it. So let's be praying for Tanque Verde High School. And then also Rincon University has a huge group of kids that suddenly came to the athletic director, heard about FCA, and wants to start FCA there in the fall. So it's incredible. And everything is going really, really great. So just a really quick touch on what we do for about 3 minutes, and I want to talk to the moms. So FCA, we use this platform of sports to reach athletes, but not just athletes, their peers, because every kid that plays a sport has friends that don't play sports. And so what happens is, like Saguaro, a girl will or a boy will come to their teacher or somebody or reach out to me and say, I want to start a club. I want to know more about FCA. So that's usually how they start, with just one athlete, one person. What we do is we try to invite these kids to camps, because our summer camp, it's a 4-day camp, and these kids will come up to Flagstaff NAU University. Again, there's 11 girls sports and 8 boys sports, and they have, you know, college huddle leaders that are solid Christian. They get interviewed. They are background. And these college kids that play sports in college, that are exercising their faith in college, are leading these groups of high school kids and middle school kids for 4 days. They'll get a group of 6 to 8 kids, just like any camp counselor, spend the whole time with them. And then we bring in like the elite college coaches, some depending on their schedules, elite college coaches, college players, and then the best of the best in our state that will come out and coach all the different sports. And so they get incredible access to coaching. They get incredible access to small group. They get to learn how to be vulnerable. Right, people live behind their phones now. People can't do face-to-face anymore. They don't even know how to do it, this next generation. They can't sit down and keep their eyes on you. So this fosters that opportunity for them to learn how to come into a small group and start to be vulnerable and start to share over the course of 4 days. And then from there, what we do is we take track of all these kids and we reach out to the kids in our area that come to the camp. And then we meet with them individually or in a small group and invite them to start a club, help them to get a club started on campus. And that's just how the Lord just continues to build it. One student, one athlete, one person at a time. That's how he builds his kingdom. It's absolutely incredible to be a part of. And so it goes. And then when we get onto the campus, We start with Bible studies. And for me, you know, I coach football and I coach tennis, and it's like spring ball every year all over again when you start these. It's, you got to start with the foundations. And so, you know, as a football coach, it's like, well, guys that do spring ball know, oh, okay, if we're in the defensive backs, we're going to work on our back pedal drills, we're going to work on our hand drills, we're going to work on our speed, we're going to work on agility. It's the same foundations of a position. It's the same thing that we do in our Bible studies. So it correlates good with them as athletes that, hey, this is what you're doing as an athlete. This is what we're going to do as a believer. You have to have foundations to build on. And so we generally start with the authority of the Bible, the trustworthiness of God's word, so that as we're speaking out of the Bible and speaking for God out of his word, they can trust it. They have a mind that says, this book is real. The prophecy of this book is real. I have to listen. So you get their attention, and then we go into the gospel, immediately into the gospel message. And then after we walk through how do you get saved, what the process of justification is with God, of saving a sinner, the majority of the rest of the year is going to be spent on the message of sanctification. Just how do I live the Christian life in a world that is just spiteful towards believers, spiteful towards everything that the Bible teaches now. How do I live day by day as an athlete, as a student, you know, living inside social media, all of these things that young people that I never dealt with are dealing with. And so that's how we spend the majority of the year. And then we'll do that sometimes, we'll restart every semester depending on how many new kids show up. So that's kind of a little flavor of what goes on throughout the school year. This summer I'm gonna be putting together my theme for the coming year for our Bible study huddle groups, as well as my football team and my tennis team. This is gonna be with the athletes that I coach, the athletes and kids that I work with in the schools, but also for my teams that I coach, it's also gonna be for the fathers that I'm gonna spend time with. We're inviting the dads to participate in this whole season of discipleship. And I think the message for this coming year is gonna be relevant, necessary, and even urgent concerning the times that we're living in. And that passage that we're going to be talking about is 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 8. So I will go ahead and read that if you'd like to turn there. And this is, the background is Paul's in prison and he's awaiting his execution. He has limited time. He writes the book of 2 Timothy to his disciple Timothy. That's what we try to do in our ministry, is make disciples. Not just share the gospel and send them off and have them figure it out for themselves, but to try to invest in each and every athlete, or get them in underneath the teaching of someone who will invest that time in them. So these are Paul's literal final words to Timothy. And so this is what we'll be basing all of our Bible study for schools and coaching this year. Paul tells Timothy, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and they will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. And in the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. I love those words. My wife knows. They're printed in large print next to my nightstand. I read them almost every day, and I think about them every day when I get up. It's the first things I think about is, we're going to war today. I have to go to war today. The life of each one of us as a believer is exactly the same as the life of an aspiring athlete. It's the same as a soldier who goes off to war. All of our lives that parallel each other in what it takes to be a great soldier, what it takes to be a great athlete, and most of all, what it takes to be a faithful and great Christian in God's eyes. Some of the things that the believer shares with the athlete, with the soldier, that Paul talks about with Timothy in 2 Timothy 2. He tells Timothy, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Don't entangle yourselves in the affairs of everyday life. You know, the soldier of Christ, the soldier in battle can't entangle himself in the things that are contrary. You have to stay focused on the mission, and that's what Paul exhorts Timothy to do, and that's what he exhorts us to do. So we see many parallels, sacrificial love for others, right? The soldier lays down his life for his comrades and for his country. So does the athlete for his teammates. If he's a team player, he's going to lay his life down for the guy next to him and the guy to the right of him. We parallel in that we have a heart to serve and to put others ahead of ourselves. The discipline that it takes and commitment that it takes. These are just a few things. We're all on a mission. The athlete's on a mission. The soldier's on a mission. The Christian's on a mission. The athlete runs the race to win it. He competes for a prize, right? Little trophy. You know, maybe he gets his name put up on a billboard. You know, if you're a professional athlete, you're in commercials. Okay, that prize is going to burn up and perish. The soldier fights the perceived enemy, whoever he is, whether it's right or wrong. He's fighting the enemy in effort to win and also to protect a homeland. Whether the mission is right or wrong, the soldier has a mission to fight. Christians are called to do the same as we run the race of life. We discipline our bodies. We fight the good fight of faith. We lead and serve sacrificially as we seek to follow the Lord's commands and represent him on this earth. But if the Bible's true, we're the only ones on a mission that counts in eternity. Everything else, all the trophies and prizes that athletes play for, they're going to burn. All the missions that were to protect a country or a land, it doesn't matter. God says in 2 Peter 3:9, the earth and all of its works are going to be destroyed when God returns. The only things that are going to be left are people and this book by which we're going to be judged by the contents of it. So I love the ministry that I get to be a part of because people don't understand the Christian life. If you're an athlete, you can understand the Christian life. The question is, do you love your sin? Do you want to stay in sin? Do you believe God or do you not? But that athlete can resonate with what it means to be a Christian. So can that soldier. And so I just love how all these tie together so easily. And so today we're going to talk about soldier moms for the last 15 minutes. Moms are soldiers. I love it. You're probably thinking, this guy's crazy. But you moms are on the front line of battle. You're not carrying guns. Well, maybe some of you probably do. That's cool. I love that. But more these days, it's probably pickleball paddles. That's a big sport. But moms are soldiers that the world just overlooks. Like our world laughs at. Our society laughs at biblical women. And it's so sad to me. And when I get to talk about womanhood and manhood in these high schools with these kids, it's like the weights get lifted off these young girls and these young men because they go, "This God's good. Like that's really good. Why is the world so against this?" It's because the world's run by you know who, the evil one. Okay, and so I think it's incredible that some of the most incredible soldiers carry diaper bags and grocery bags and prayer books, running on just little sleep every night. I know my wife, I don't know how in the world she does. I don't know how she does it. I just literally don't. I'm supposed to be the strong one in the house, and sometimes I'm like, man, if I could just keep up with my wife, that would be really, really great. But I mean, just think of the emotional burdens, right? Everything that moms just carry. And I'm going to have I have a small list of things to share. But you're soldiers. The Bible calls you a soldier. You're a soldier for Christ. And your battlefield is everything attacking that husband of yours and those children of yours. And so, soldiers and moms are on a mission. The soldier wakes up every morning and says, my life's not my own. I'm going out today. I might not come back. Well, what does a mom say every morning when she gets up? I mean, I remember when we had two or three kids in diapers, you know, some kids were running around out in the backyard, setting fires to things. And, you know, my wife has to wake up every morning and say, I'd really like to go to the salon. I'd like to get my nails done, my toes done. I'd like to do all these things today, but But I can't because I'm homeschooling six kids and I have to get them to practice and I have to make breakfast and I have to make lunch and I have to make dinner and gosh, the laundry. I got to teach these kids to do their laundry so I'm not having to do six kids' laundry. And all of these things go unnoticed. So I'm going to say this 1,000 times in the next 15 minutes. Thank you, moms, for all the things that you do that nobody says thank you for. Thank you for all the things that you do that the world laughs at. God's not laughing at it. I go back to 2 Timothy 4:6. To me, moms sacrifice sleep, time, their bodies, their schedules, their energy, their emotions, their finances for somebody else every single day. And like for our family, it's a big family. And then you have, for our family, we have other people's kids coming into our home all the time that have problems and brokenness. And so I just love you, baby. Thank you. And thank you to all the moms who do this and it doesn't go noticed. This is what I think Paul means to Timothy when he says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering." Moms, Christians, we pour ourselves out. There's nothing left to give. The only one that can fill you is Christ. And so he's the one that's going to do it. And it's amazing because it's not one sacrifice when you think of it. It's death by 1,000 cuts, right, moms? It's just one thing after the next, after the next, after the next, right? We talked about breakfasts, lunch, dinners, laundry, cleaning. I mean, I call my wife the greatest nurse. My daughter's a nurse at UMC or TMC, but I still think my wife is like, she's a 24-hour nurse. My wife, my sister, my daughter goes, 12 hours a shift. My wife's on full-time nurse duty. I mean, I can't tell you, she's taking stitches out. She's looked at things with my kids when they gash themselves open that I can't even look at. She's taking care of me while I'm fainting and the kid's leg at the same time. So, but those are all the things that a mom sacrifices. Romans 12:1 says, present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God. So moms, that's something that you do every day, and I don't even know if you know that you do it. And Jesus says in Matthew 16:25, whoever loses himself or herself for my sake, he it is that will find it. That's what it means to pour yourself out as a drink offering. Two more topics. Protection. What do soldiers do, right? They go out, they protect the fort, they protect the homeland, they protect the ship. They're always protecting. They're always playing offense, but they're always on defense. Sometimes defense is played by playing offense, but that's what soldiers do. But gosh, how much better are moms? How about getting up at 2:30 in the morning when Grayson has a cramp in his calf? Mom, help me. How about getting up when the kids are crying and they have the fever in the middle of the night? How about the moms that notice it's awfully quiet in that other room over there? Something's going on over there. When dad's watching the football game, hanging out with the buddies, mom's like, I don't hear our kids right now. Something's wrong. Okay, it's just that instinct that moms have. I think moms carry a lot of burdens that nobody else sees. They hide it really well. Please don't get mad at me. Don't throw anything. But moms are like our bull mastiff. You don't know when they have pain. They say like bull mastiffs just that you don't even know. It could be dying and in excruciating pain and you would never know it. There's something incredible about moms that can carry so much burden and you don't even know it's there. As a husband, I forget to ask her, how are you, sweetheart? Right? Because she carries it so well. And I'm sure many of you or all of you do too. How about staying on your A game? Got to have some athletics in here. When you have nothing left in your tank, when you just have to be focused, when you just want to go lay down and put your feet up. Moms are great protectors. And I think of three verses that just make me think of moms today. 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9, Peter says, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around, looking whom he may devour. Resist him, firm in your faith. Moms are all about protection. And we love Proverbs 31 in our house. Moms watch over the ways of their households. And moms pray, night and day, praying exceedingly, 1 Thessalonians 3:10. protect, watch over, pray. That's something I think moms need to get a lot more credit for. Carrying the heavy gear, right? You see soldiers, you see them all over on the news now with this war. They've got all kinds of equipment on. Again, we're just going back to moms. You can't see theirs. They have invisible backpacks. They carry the calendar. They carry the emotions of their entire family. They keep inventory of the groceries. Everyone's medical histories, right? When we do our, every time we have to go for a sport, you got to fill out 17 pieces of paper just to go play a sport. They carry all that. How about future of our kids, our grandkids? We carry that burden. For our own children, responsibility that nobody has assigned to them, but moms are expected to do. It's a huge burden that gets carried quietly. You don't see it, but God sees it. A couple scriptures I think that moms do well as they bear one another's burdens, Galatians 6:2. And God girds her with strength, Proverbs 31:17. This is my favorite part as we come to an end. Moms don't get much recognition from the world, but God sees. I've said that already. So much of what moms do is in secret. It goes unnoticed. We've said that all. But let's remember Jesus' words in Matthew 6, chapter 4. Your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Colossians 3:23, that whatever you do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, because it is the Lord Christ whom you serve. And Galatians 6:9 says, let us not grow weary while doing good. That is what moms do, and God will reward moms for it. I think about Jesus when he says in Matthew 20:26, that the disciples, course, they just don't get it yet. They're arguing, who's going to be the greatest? I want to be the greatest. I want to be there. I want to sit at his right hand. Here these guys are fighting. Jesus is getting ready to die, right, soon, and they're arguing over who's going to be best in the kingdom. And Jesus says, whoever desires to be great among you is going to become your servant. The greatest among you will be your slave. He says, I did not come to be served, but to serve and give my life a ransom as a payment for many. And so I just wanted to end with, moms are the greatest, in my opinion, the greatest example to the world of who Jesus Christ is, who he is, what he came to do, and what his mission was on this earth, because you do it every single day with your husbands, with your children, with your grandchildren. So some of you, maybe your great-great-grandchildren. You have an incredible role, and I just want to encourage you in that, and I pray that even though the world will not reward you, it'll frown upon you perhaps for taking on this all-important role that God has given you. Our faithful God sees all, and he knows all, and he will reward you when and where it matters most, and that's going to be in eternity. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. That's what Paul tells Timothy in his last words. And that is in store for each one of us as a believer, and I think all the more for moms. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Stay faithful, moms. Think of the parable of the talents. One gets 10, one gets 5, one gets 1. God doesn't reward them for how much they made. He rewards them for the faithfulness to the opportunities that he gave them. God rewards us not on the results. So there might be moms out here that have poured every ounce of their being into their child, and you don't see any fruit. That's not your fault. Your child has a free will, and your child's going to stand before God. God will reward you even if you don't get the results that you want. So stay faithful. Never give up. Never give in. Keep praying. And my last two Proverbs. I love these Proverbs. Our wives and our moms will rejoice in the time to come, Proverbs 31:25, and her children rise up and call her blessed, Proverbs 31:28. I believe that on that day, the day of judgment, faithful moms who feel as though they are last on this earth will one day be first and the greatest in the kingdom of God. I believe moms will find that heaven kept record of every unnoticed act of sacrificial love that no one else saw or appreciated. And so, moms and wives, I want to thank you for your love, your sacrifice, for all that you do in public and all that you do in private to serve your families and your community. May the Lord reward you 1,000-fold for every sacrifice you've made and continue to make. Happy Mother's Day. And let me pray for us. Father God, we come before you today in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. We just give you thanks. Thank you for every mom, every future mom in this room here today. I pray to you, Lord, that they would leave this place today so encouraged about their role and the impact that they are having in this world for you just by being the sacrificial servants that you made them. I pray that for those who are here today and who are walking with you, women of God, that you would open their eyes to all of the other women out there who are doing the very, very same thing but do not know you yet and have no reward with you, Lord. I pray that you would use each of these moms and women, Lord, to depopulate hell and to populate your kingdom with new people. I pray for boldness for them to share their faith. I pray for boldness with them to share their lives with others. And Lord, would you just bless them on this day? Thank you for these moms. Thank you for these wives. And also, Lord, while we're here, thank you for the men too. I love these guys too. God, thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.